What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics and open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Hello and welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and so happy to have you here today. Today we have an exciting guest, Cody Ebner, and we're going to be talking about intuition, your psychic abilities, and all about the psychic world. So we're going to have a lot of fun on the show. And as always, of course, stay tuned to the end of the show because we're going to have a transformative Peace Brain meditation at the end, as always. So, as I usually do, I open the show with a quote. And this quote today I really like. It's very simple and yet very profound. And it's from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And he says, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." So obviously this is what we're going to be talking about today, is what lies within us is really the most important. Our past, our future is in the present moment now, and you are in charge of your life, as everyone else is in charge of theirs. So it's how to get in touch with that wisdom within, with our inner knowing, with our internal guidance, and moving forward in each day, in each moment. So I like this quote. It's very, very apropos for today. So today I want to introduce our guest, Mr. Cody Ebner, and he is a delightful person. He has been teaching meditation and intuitive awareness for over 30 years. He has done tens of thousands of energy readings and healings and taught thousands more to meditate and to tap into their intuitive abilities. He is founder of intuitivevision.net and co-host of the Energy Matters podcast, and currently travels and teaches advanced intuitive training programs, workshops, and seminars. He's also the former director of the Berkeley Psychic Institute of Santa Rosa and the Asclepion Wellness Center. Cody first awakened to his intuitive gifts when he was 14 years old while watching his aunt receive a psychic reading. He suddenly realized that he was reading along with the psychic and having the same awareness and insights as the reader. After that experience, Cody began to study meditation and metaphysics deeply. Even today, he continues to explore, learn, and teach about what it means to be psychic. So his website, you can find out more about him at intuitivevision.net. That's I-N-T-U-I-T-I-V-E-V-I-S-O-N, vision, intuitivevision.net, N-E-T. Welcome, Cody, to the Peace Brain Show.
Hi, Gail. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. We were just discussing, I'm going to share this with everyone before we went on the show, that we actually have a lot of people we know in common.
You
were former director of the Berkeley Psychic Institute, and my metaphysical teachers actually attended and taught at the Berkeley Psychic Institute as well, and then came to Atlanta to create a center here, well, to teach here in Atlanta, and then we created a center. So, yeah, so we know some people in common. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I guess I can give a shout-out to them, Jim Self, who is
right now
with Mastering Alchemy, and Mary Bell Nyman, who has Psychic Horizons in Boulder, Colorado, and Vesa Reinhart, who's in San Diego. I've forgotten the name of her institute, though. Her place.
Intuitive Insight.
Of course, Intuitive Insight.
Yeah.
And you are in Colorado Springs with intuitivevision.net. So,
yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
Well, we are all over the country.
Well, and that seems to be what happened when Louis Boswick, mm-hmm. you know, created the Berkeley Psychic Institute. His people basically spread throughout at least the United States, if not the world, to continue to teach?
Oh, it's around the world. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, tell me more. So tell me more.
Well, I teach, you know, the beginning meditation and the beginning energy awareness tools, and I teach people how to read and use their clairvoyance. But I also teach the advanced training in things like mediumship, and I do some hands-on healing training work, and something kind of that's just one-on-one work. So I have students that are, you know, in Germany. We have people in Britain. I've talked to people in Brazil, you know, all where there are people who are running centers, and then they come to me to work on their mediumship. So there are centers around the world that, you know, I become aware of here and there as they seek out or have questions about mediumship.
Yeah. Right, right. And you're right. I remember going to John of God, and mediumship in the spiritist community is very big. And that in Brazil, we're speaking about in Brazil, this healer who is a medium and brings in healing energies. But mm-hmm. So you know, what I've always wondered is, I would love a list of all of the different centers that were created from this Berkeley Psychic Institute, sort of where they ended up migrating to those same teachings, because I find I can go on the websites of the ones I do know, and we've all been taught exactly the same thing. It's the same way of doing, and obviously there's variations, and personal preferences can be interjected, but the mm-hmm. same styles of looking at the seven chakras, the main seven chakras in the body, and doing a reading on those, doing a hands-on healing in a certain manner. So it's, people ask me, you know, what kind of healing do you do? Is it like Reiki? And I'm like, well, there's not really a word
right.
for this. Not really a name, but it is similar in a way. It's sort of like, okay. So there's no definite, no title to it, but it's all the same. When I go look at these different centers, it's like, oh wow, that's really cool. They're doing it the same way with the rose tool and the grounding cord and the seven layers.
Right.
So,
yeah,
to me that's fascinating.
I know I would love a list as well. I do know quite a few different people in different centers that are active, and I travel and teach in different centers, and oftentimes when I like advertise for advanced work, a prerequisite we just have to put is BPI style tools or BPI style practice.
Right.
And it's really Lewis Bostwick who started it. So way back, you know, in the 60s and 50s, he was into the spiritualist stuff, and he was, you know, he was always kind of psychic, and he explored a lot through the Rosicrucians. I'm sure he knew a lot. You know, he was back from the old, like, Edgar Cayce era, you know, and Arthur Ford. There were some others, big names way back then. And in his mid-50s, I think it was, I think he was about 55 when he started the Institute. But prior to that, he'd been working with mediums and working with meditation and energy awareness and work. And he kind of brought all of his knowledge together. And the thing that I think he kind of brought to the table at that time was a real clear way to teach people how to start to turn on and develop their intuitive awareness and being psychic. And I think before that, there was a lot of mystery around being psychic, and it was kind of a gift that only some people had, and maybe the psychics that had that kind of liked that dynamic, because then they had something nobody else had. And Lewis kind of started this thing that he called psychic kindergarten, which is
yes.
just the concept that you can play with awareness and energy and figure out, you know, what you have, and that everybody has something. Everybody has an intuitive level of ability. Some of us are healers, and some of us are more seers. Some of us are mediums. Some of us are teachers. And we all have all those things, but we gravitate toward or might like one or the other. So he created a playground to explore these inner abilities and inner awarenesses. And I love that you started with that quote. That, oddly enough, that's the quote I have at the one of my main signature lines in all my emails is that quote. Because it is so true that, you know, the world out there is where it's very noisy and demanding and draws our attention. But in many ways, you know, the real game is happening within us. And the more we can turn our attention to that and connect with that inner aspect and come to know ourselves, the more we become kind of validated in who we are, the more we become maybe aligned with and connected with our gifts so that we can actually bring them into the world and be fulfilled in what we're here to become. And I think the happier we start to be with ourselves when we're connected with that inner and aligned with that inner self. So that's kind of
so
the
true.
Yeah. And that's kind of the maybe the core of where I teach from is that it's about, you know, coming to know your own space, of course, is the concept we have, but it's really to know, you know, that inner world within yourself through meditation and awareness. And it really is a game of awareness. And then through that, discover, you know, who it is you really are and what it is you really want to create or and become in the world. And we have a lot of different practices to get there. So anyway, Lewis started this kind of work in 1973, I think, is when he formally started a center. And it's named Berkeley Psychic Institute because you started in Berkeley. So it's not, not too creative of a name. It's just the location.
That
name has stuck. Yeah, it works. There's a lot of different names now that people put into their centers that aren't, you know, based on the location. Like I have Intuitive Vision and, you know, Vesa has Intuitive Insights. And so a lot of different names to talk about what we're doing. But the foundation is that if you find a place, you know, where there's the tools of grounding, not just as a concept, but as the actual tool that you practice, running energy, you know, working with roses, getting in the center of your head. Those are all things Lewis came up with, basically, as a way to kind of, he took all of his learning and knowledge over the years of exploring mysticism and all the different realms of spirituality he was into and came up with really a way to awaken and tap into and really functionally use your intuition or psychic ability, if you want to call it that.
And I think that's the key, you know, that he took, and I, from my knowledge or what I've heard is, you know, as you mentioned, the Rosicrucians, I think he went into like the Egyptian mystery schools to mm-hmm. all the different major religions and took their spiritualists, their mystical teachings. And formed this toolbox, you know, this toolkit
mm-hmm. exactly.
of practical tools to be able to walk in the world with those abilities that only the mystics had in the past. So, yeah, really cool stuff. So let's talk about, you know, we're talking about the word psychic. How would you define or describe the word psychic? You did a little bit just a minute about knowing yourself, but some people are really afraid
right.
of the word, so I guess I wanted to discuss that, yeah.
Yeah, it is one of those loaded words. So sometimes we might use intuition as a little bit softer version. Partly psychic is one of those words that, you know, is loaded because there is some energy in it or information in it that is charged to a lot of people. In other words, there's a little bit of that mystery and the mysticism expressed in the word. Some of it's Hollywood too. You know, some of it is just that we kind of get some of these words used in imagery and stories and things that are, you know, take one aspect of what it is and exemplify that or make it scary in some way. You know, the root of the word means soul essence. So the real core of being psychic is about being awakened to your own soul essence and or others in the world, but it always starts with oneself, with kind of awakening within to that part of yourself and working with that part of yourself, recognizing that we have interaction and that our expression of ourselves emanates, you know, at best from that core soul essence, not, you know, from ego or mind or what have you. So being psychic from just a mystical standpoint could be thought of as being awakened to that inner aspect of yourself and aligned with it and approaching or looking at the world from that perspective. Where it gets these ideas around seeing the future or knowing the future or reading people's minds or all these things is that when you are connected with that soul essence, when you are expressing yourself from there and viewing the world from there, you do tend to become aware of things that go beyond the physical. You become aware of the energy of where someone else is. You become aware of time maybe in a little different way. So you do have perceptions about, you know, what's on the horizon a little bit differently than if we were just looking at the physical world. So it does open up, you know, to awarenesses, and we become aware of, you know, when we were kind of looking at the energy world, we become aware of spirit in a different way. So you might hear people talking about spirit guides or angels or things that in a context where it's real to them, right? They see it when they're being kind of rooted in or connected with that part of oneself that we could call psychic. I think that's how I would kind of describe it.
Yeah, no, great description. And it makes me, well, two things come to my mind. Is one, obviously, when you're in that soul essence of you, there is this connection to everything because we are one with everything. And so, yes, being able to see in at the horizon or, you're right, time takes on a more simultaneous present moment configuration where everything exists, not necessarily past, present, future. And so everything is available to one when one looks at it from that particular point. Mm-hmm. But you said something earlier that I want to explore, and that is that getting to know oneself, that is part of what this psychic awareness, this soul essence of learning who we each are. When we put it in that divine aspect, that makes it really exciting or interesting in my book. But some people are afraid to know who they are. And I'm bringing this in to say that sometimes we may each think, or someone may think that, you know, I'm particularly maybe a bad person or something. I'm not worthy or all of those things. And so I don't really want to delve deep into who I am because I might find some really scary stuff. Address that.
pull
up the toolbox.
I mean, some people are afraid, of silence, right? They have to have a TV or a noise or something going, distracting them all the time, because to be alone with oneself, what starts to arise is some of what you're saying, maybe negative thoughts or feelings or maybe just too much input. And, you know, it's kind of a funny thing because it's like many things in the world. From the outside, it looks very different than what it is to do it and go through it and kind of be on the inside. To know thyself, that idea, or to turn inward in meditation can be very scary, and some people get anxiety over that, and some people can't calm down enough to meditate because there's a fear about what they'll find. But there's two aspects to that. One is if we stop and really connect with ourselves, yes, we do have to kind of confront the truth of human nature in all human beings, which is we can be both good and bad. We have that in our nature. But when I'm thinking of connecting with that divine aspect of self or that psychic soul essence aspect of self, then all of those ego things and all of those survival-driven things fall away. We're moving past those to the core of who we are, which is that aspect that is part of everything. And in that aspect is sublime peace and calm, and we're nothing but divinity and perfection when you can let go of those other aspects. So the fear is that you do have to confront and address those things actually that you're not, and realize you're not them and let go of them. And then you come to know your true nature and who you truly are as a being, if you will, or as a spirit. It's hard to find a good word to put to that, but maybe just in your divine essence, we could say that. Okay. So, you know, as you learn to meditate and turn inward and move past those things, those fears of what you might be, those misconceptions, what the world has told you, what you've told yourself, and you go deeper beyond that, which is all ego mind, that outer layer. But once you move beyond that and touch that inner aspect and start to reside there in meditation, then you come to know who you are in nature. And from there, you can become who you might want to be in the world, rather than just think that, you know, you are who you are in the world, or the world made you something and you have no power. That's not what we're teaching. We're teaching the idea that when you wake up internally to who you are and to your true spiritual nature or divine nature, then you have the power to create who you want to be in the world. And all those other things are just, you know, the ego mind. They're all just made up. They're just constructs in the world.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, and I found that in this practice, I mean, just speaking for me personally, that it has been over the years really a great gift to shed all of those, as you said, thoughts that are not real, that of not worthy and powerless and, you know, the world is doing it to me type things, and realize
right.
There is a power to be able to stand in my own power and create. I want to share a story. We just came back, my husband and I, from Seattle, from a zoo conference, because we designed zoos all over the world. And every year
nice.
They get the zoo people get together, about 3,000 of them, and have a beautiful conference about all kinds of things to do with animals and more. And so we were taking the time, because Seattle is a beautiful place, to take an extra day to go down to Portland and see the zoo there, and then to see Mount Rainier. And so one day we were on a trip to go to the mountain and to the national park, and I love mountain energy. It's who I am, mountain and waterfalls and old trees. And I put it forth, like, this is what I really want. And we kept meeting these angel people, you know, along the way that would just kind of show up and say, yeah, you need to go to the Reflection Lake to go take a great picture of, you know, Mount Rainier. And we did. And then, oh, you've got to go see the old growth forest. And sure enough, on the way back, there's the little sign, Ancient Forest, we can pull in. And then we said, we have to be back to Seattle at 8 o'clock, because that's when the free parking starts on the street. Is it 8? If we get in before then, we have to pay for parking, like $50 a night type thing. So
oh,
I went, okay,
goodness.
let's conjure up a free parking and the right time. And sure enough, we get in at 8:01 and manifest a parking space right in front of the hotel. So, you know, there's a synchronicities. That's just an example of the way being in that joy. I mean, that's what we were in,
mm-hmm.
and I was in. That joyful space and that divine space, if you will, of connecting with nature and connecting with the guides that showed up in human form to tell us where to go. And then, of course, the spirit guides, if you will, to hold that parking space and get us in it right at the time. So
right.
The world, this way, at least I've been able to, through that instance, create a beautiful life is possible, I think, for everyone. Obviously, that's what we're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, I think so. And when you You know, I think of it as when you're kind of creating or just maybe walking through the world, connected in or rooted in the awareness of that divine nature, and we could just call it of energy, or listening to the intuitive mind rather than the you know, intellectual or analytical mind. And in that flow of energy, it's synchronicity is a great word for it. It's like things just line up or come together in ways that we couldn't have made up in our head that well, right? They fall into place in ways that we couldn't have anticipated. And so life becomes a little bit more interesting. There's definitely that inner joy there. And it's kind of a bit of a miracle because we're kind of connected to the mystery. So then we're living in the mystery. And that's a great place to be. And that is, you know, what comes out of the practice. So the practice is a very practical type practice. It, you know, it involves sitting down and meditating and awakening to this part of oneself. It involves addressing or recognizing those things that would block or take us away from being connected to this part of ourselves and letting go of those things, you know. And it involves some really kind of practical day-by-day steps. It's kind of an art, like any art that you might practice. The more you kind of step, when you step into it, you know, time kind of stops and you're just being in that aspect of yourself. And so this aspect of self is about being connected with one's energy, the awareness of our nature beyond this single lifetime or beyond the physical body, and then approaching the world with rooted in that awareness might be a simple way to think about it. So it starts with meditation, but it goes deeper because a part of the practice, at least in what I teach for those people that are interested, is how to actually start to read energy and move through the blocks that you start to see, and then how to read other people's energy and learn, you know, gain insight by watching how energy works in the world around us. And as to an intuitive or a reader, you know, everybody becomes your book. Everybody, you can learn something from everybody around you, from the whole world. And so it is an approach in the world where you become kind of a student of life, right? A student of the game, where you're kind of learning about how it unfolds and how energy interacts and how creation's happening right here, right now, all the time. It's not like everything's created and it's done, right? When you connect with that divine essence and you live in the mystery, you recognize that creation is happening and we're a part of it.
So tell us about your classes, some specific ones.
Well, I have a number of different classes. So I recently have taught some beginning meditation classes and recorded them. So I have those available through my website. And those involve, you know, really just getting the basic kind of energy tools. And so like the first level of the class, I think I call Awakening to Energy, because that's one of the kind of primary foundational things to starting to work with this kind of awareness, is you have to recognize and have a sense of energy. You don't have to see it. I mean, we kind of move into learning to see energy, but you have to have that kind of perception that, you know, people have energy, things have energy, you know, and many of us innately kind of know that. You go and walk into a group or a room and you can describe the energy of the room, and you can tell if it's a high energy place or low energy place. You can tell if it's flowing and in amusement or, you know, or if it's stuck, and you don't even have to see anything. You can just, oftentimes tell that as you're approaching the door. You don't have to walk through the door to know and have a sense of the energy. We're really innately keyed into that, but we don't necessarily stop and think about or look at, well, what does that really mean that I can sense that kind of stuff? And how does that affect me?
What happens?
Yeah.
As we walk to a party, you know, everyone's walked into a party and you know instantly where the happy people are and where the grumpy people are.
Right.
not just from their voice or their body language, but just their energy.
Yeah. Right.
And of course, if you're feeling particularly grumpy, you don't want to be around the happy people. You want to go hang out with those that
exactly.
are feeling like you.
We tend to kind of gravitate towards where we're vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
So the tools are in part about amplifying that awareness and starting to go beyond just the idea of navigating a party, because there's much deeper implications to having that level of awareness and using it in the world. Although going, you know, to the right party is not a bad start. and not going to one, listening to that intuitive awareness is the beginning, because it will guide you through life in a way that keeps you kind of on your path, so to speak. In other words, meeting the people you need to meet and being the places you need to be, and not being the places, you know, where you really don't need to be, because that would take you off your path. So
do you have a good story about that? Sorry to interrupt.
Well, you know, how I started pursuing all of this, you talked a little bit about in my bio, I think, that the first time I ever kind of got exposed to this, I had always been around a metaphysical, you know, family. It was when I grew up, it was like in the 70s, you know, 60s, 70s, and early 80s. So my mom was into metaphysics, so she was into astrology, and we were reading Ruth Montgomery back then was big, and some of the Seth books, and you know, there was just a lot of Jack Schwartz was big, a lot of different ideas at that time that had to do with talking to spirit or to energy, and I was out with my aunt one day. I think it was for my 14th birthday, and she was taking me out for the day to shop and go to lunch and just have a day with her, this was in Boise, Idaho, of all places, to get my first reading, you know, back then, because I was from California, which this stuff was going on, you know, in California quite a bit. And so we saw this psychic, and she said, do you want to get a reading? And I said, yeah, definitely, because I was very interested in that level of awareness, even at that young age. And so we went to get the reading, and it turns out she kind of wanted a reading too, because she wanted to go first, which was great. That was kind of a beautiful way that it aligned up for me to have her get her reading first, because I got to sit and watch her reading. And so as this lady is reading her, all of a sudden my aunt is asking questions, and I'm having in my head the answer to the question. And then the lady was saying the exact same thing. And what I realized later, because this is how we teach people, was I had matched her. And one of the fastest ways to turn on your intuitive ability or to go beyond where you are is to match someone else who's been doing it longer, and suddenly you rise to their level. And once you open that door, then now you can be there. So that's a training technique. But I inadvertently matched her and suddenly started reading along with her. And the thought I had at that age was, well, this is easy. I could do this. So I suddenly saw that there was this thing that I could do. But, you know, looking at how that whole day unfolded and how it wasn't like I consciously made thoughts about going down that path, but I was definitely guided to that connection in that moment. Mm-hmm. And there was this intuition or this kind of inner guidance that led me to that place and into that moment where I would awaken to this part of myself. And I was very fascinated by it. I got my reading. She was a great reader. I found the tape of that reading a decade or so later. I'd listened to it, and I was really interesting to hear. I was kind of listening, going, oh, that was a really good reading, actually. But then when she got to my questions, I only had one question, which was, how do I develop my psychic abilities? And she didn't quite know how to answer that. She was a psychic where it just happened to her, and it was a gift, and she just was expressing this part of herself. So she didn't have an answer for me. And it was just a few years later that I found the Berkeley Psychic Institute, and that was really my answer. And again, I was kind of guided to that in some just serendipitous ways of following an intuition. I mean, I was 17 at the time, and, you know, going to this place where it really wasn't geared towards kids or teenagers. You know, it was a lot of much older people than me. But I just had to go there, and I was really drawn to that space once I kind of saw, you know, what it was and the name. And so something in me just said, you have to go do this, even at that young age. And when I did, it again, another level of awakening happened. I first got a reading, and when the person first read me and saw my energy and started to talk to it, it's like this whole other aspect of myself got validated, which I always knew was there, but couldn't put into words, you know, or couldn't solidify into a concept in my head. It was this very abstract thing until someone sees it. And that's the power of a reading, I think. You know, in that reading, the man read me, and then towards the end, he said, you want a healing? You know, he said, oh, your energy's blocked here, here, and here. Would you like a little healing? And I said, sure. You know, I was just there open to whatever. And he kind of raised his hand in front of him and kind of did this little swirly motion. I didn't know what he was doing. But the minute he touched my energy in that way to do a healing, I felt this rush of energy inside myself. And I saw this flash of color that I had never, you know, felt that or seen that in that way. And that was really, I think, what hooked me. Is like, oh, I've got to figure out how to do this. I've got to figure out how to be in this space in myself and do it on myself. And I think I was always kind of in that mindset relative to psychics, even with that first lady. My question was always, how do I do this? Not what can you do for me? And right. And that, I think, exemplifies the path that of what we teach is we teach you how to do it, not how to be reliant on just someone else that will be your healer or your guide. It's great to have healers and guides, but the big thing is to learn how to do it in yourself and on, you know, for yourself, I guess we could say.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to ask next, is actually, how can any of our listeners kind of open up to their own psychic abilities today?
Yeah.
Go to your website and sign up for a course. Obviously,
well,
is one answer.
Well, you can do it through me or any number of places. The beautiful thing about today is that you can find this kind of work so many different places, and there's access. And we didn't have that. You know, back in when I started in the early 80s, you know, the Berkeley Psychic Institute maybe was the only place around that where you could just walk in not knowing anything and be totally accepted to and taught, right? It wasn't like a school where you had to be something first, or you had to kind of, like the old mystery schools, you know, you kind of had to prove yourself first or whatever. You just walked in and they said, hey, everybody's psychic, let me show you how. And there's a lot of places like that where you can get that information now. So I, you know, I'm one of them, but the first thing to really start with is exploring meditation. I mean, that's the thing that any of us can start to do right off, because that brings our attention inward to that part of ourselves that we're talking about, really, and a place to where you can start to awaken to it. And I know there's all different kinds of meditations, and any meditation is good because it starts to bring us into ourselves in a different way, and awakenings can start to happen. But meditation that awakens us to energy awareness will be the thing that starts to turn on connect you to, let's say, or allows you to begin to access your intuition. And then finding a place that has a pretty grounded and clear path to growth, so that, you know, the way I teach it, it's very step by step and it's very practical, so that you're not just awakening to this intuition, but not, you know, having it focused in some way that brings mm-hmm. you back into the world. There's plenty of people that wake up and it takes them out of the world or out of their body, and then they lose it. And, you know, I've spent years running a clairvoyant training center or an institute, we used to call them. And one of the things that we had coming in all the time were people that had started to awaken or had consciously or just it happened to them, but then didn't know what to do. There was no practical guide of, well, where do I start? How do I focus this awareness, and how do I direct my energy? How do I handle my own sensitivities? And so we teach all that. You know, so I have some online courses.
I'm on your website now. And it's intuitivevision.net for those of you just tuning in. And I see you've got a level one intuitive training and a level two. Mm-hmm. And each of these are 3-month courses. And then you have an intuitive chakra series as well, which is 2 months.
Yes.
And awakening to energy of 4 weeks.
So the awakening to energy would be the one to start. That would be like the beginning meditation course. And then the awakening your intuition would be the part where we start to look at and read energy, levels one and two. And the chakra series is a series of guided meditations working on clearing, activating the intuitive abilities in your chakras, and then clearing the blocks. And that's actually offered through Daily Om. So if you go to our website and click through that, you'll end up on Daily Om, and you can download that course. And that's a great one to start. And the other big thing that I have is a podcast, Energy Matters. So I started a podcast a couple of years ago, and a good friend of mine who I'm teaching, taught the chakra course with and these other courses with, I called him up one day. I said, hey, we should do a podcast called Energy Matters, where we really kind of explore and talk to people. It's like a long form conversation podcast where we talk to people in different fields of wellness and spirituality, but about basically energy and how that matters. You know, that's the important thing to be aware of in what you're doing in the world, and how they bring kind of that awareness to whatever they do, whether they're, you know, into wellness and nutrition or coaching or healing or teaching on some level. So check out that podcast at energymatterspodcast.com. I think our latest one, we just interviewed Alan Cohen, who is a longtime spiritual teacher. He has like 24 books out, and he was real fun to talk to.
Fantastic.
So that's the other
Definitely.
Way, you know, my journey's been about getting the word out, you know, of this level of awareness. But my goal has always been, or my focus has always been, on the individual, because I kind of believe that if we all start to awaken in ourselves and align to that divine aspect of ourselves, that the world will become a better place, and that it really happens in each person. Each of us has to kind of take that step.
So that has been the focus. Yeah.
Yeah.
My next question was going to be, how does this all relate to peace and a better world? So go for it.
You were there.
And good intuition here.
And that is, I think, how it relates to that. you know, I mean, I there are those people that, you know, create change out there that are activists and out there. For whatever reason, my focus and my path has always been about the inner world and reaching the individual and awakening the individual to that kind of divine sense of self, connecting them with that, kind of bringing that out in a person. And if that leads a person to then be, you know, be more active in the world in some other sense of changing the world and trying to help bring about peace, that's great. But my focus has always been about kind of awakening the individual with the idea that that each of us, as we awaken and align with that divine sense of self, will start to show up and bring to the world that unique thing that we're here to bring, that's aligned to the divinity, which I would consider peace and harmony and healing and health and wellness. That's where all those things come from, is that inner energy of spirit or the divine essence within each of us. So that's always been my focus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that,
yeah. And I didn't, that I mean, that was never a conscious choice, right? That just was kind of where I was drawn, that this is what is important in the world to me, is that each person finds that connection or that spark and starts to kind of go into it and become more of it. Yeah.
Exactly. Become it. And then those synchronicities show up. And then we really, when we're walking in well-being, we are creating the well-being around us and obviously aligning with it in others. And so it becomes community-wide, and it spreads out to even a greater community that way. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the
we're
irony
getting
is,
toward the,
you know, we, what's that?
Oh, I was going to say, we're getting toward the end of the show. I just want you to give your final words of wisdom in the next few minutes. So please do. Go ahead.
Well, and you know, this last point, when you just mentioned that, when we're walking in well-being, you know, we start to create it in some way. That is kind of the interesting thing, and maybe a little bit of the irony in this, where we started, of this fear of who I might be and this fear of awakening and knowing myself, because, you know, I'm afraid that I'm not good enough or that I'm a bad person or whatever, you know, these ideas that get created are. But the interesting thing is, when you start to turn inward and connect with that divine energy, when you start to walk in that vibration of wellness or of your own presence, you can't help but just be that or bring that to the world. It happens that then you create that in your world naturally, without this other thought of, am I being good or bad or what have you. When you're residing in that inner connection of awareness of spirit and your true nature, you bring healing and goodness and peace to the world. And so it all starts with meditation, with turning inward, and that is the thing we can all start today.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's been a delight to talk with you today. I really thank you to have
you
to
so
be
much.
On. So I want to remind everyone about your website again, intuitivevision.net. And yeah, Cody, thank you for being on the Peace Brain Show.
Yeah, thank you, Gail, so much for inviting me. That's wonderful.
Oh, you're very welcome. It feels like we could have had a very longer conversation, but maybe for another time.
Sure, we could. Yes.
Going into lots of places here. All right. So, So again, everyone go to intuitivevision.net to find out more about Cody Edner and his Energy Matters podcast as well. Please support that and check out his different classes, and know that you too are psychic, and you too have this intuitive ability to discover your divine essence and walk in it daily. So, yeah, thank you. So take a breath, everyone. We're going to go into the Peace Brain Meditation. And just be present in your body. I want you to, wherever you are sitting, just be comfortable. Be present to this moment. And as I say, most of the time, give yourself a grounding cord, which is that energetic connection between the base of your spine, your body, and the center of Mother Earth. So I like to envision a beam of light, or maybe a tree trunk coming out of the base of my spine, or if I'm working with children, a monkey's tail going down all the way through the bedrock and the molten lava and into the iron crystal core of Mother Earth. And you can widen it to the width of your hips and let it support you and just allow all of the energy from anything of the past or the future, any energy that's not yours, you don't have to know what that is, to flow down the grounding cord and leave your space just to bring you into the present moment, just where you are now. So take a breath. And I invite you to close your eyes if you choose. You can then just go into your sacred heart. And what I mean by this is be present behind your physical heart. There's this beautiful sacred heart that is your divine essence. It's where the God within, the divinity within resides. So put your focus, your attention there and feel the love, actually, that you are. You are the amazing, loving being. You are this beauty, this divine essence. That's the essence of your soul and who you are. And when you open your peace brain, which is connecting your head and your heart, you can know that these internal abilities, these psychic, these soul essence intuitive abilities are natural. They're part of who you are. They're part of your physical being, actually. So take a breath and just be in that love space, be in that divine space. Turn inward and acknowledge yourself. And then I invite you to just pay attention to your seven chakras. And I'm just going to go through them where they exist in your body. These are energy centers that are where different parts of yourself, your life of what you're concentrating on at the moment can reside or can be guided from. And the first chakra is where you've got your grounding cord at the base of your spine going down to the center of the earth. Your first chakra is about well-being. It's about how you navigate the world and say hello to it. Just say hello and say thank you, chakra, for being there. For being here to guide me in the world and navigate this complex world that we live in. And your second chakra is just below your belly button, your donjon, your relationships and sexuality and some of your creativity and power is in that second chakra. And again, just say hello to it. Thank it for being here. And just send love to these chakras as you're doing it. Thank yous and love. Saying hello to that one. And then move up to your third chakra, your solar plexus. Your sort of gut brain or where all the nerve centers come together in your physical body. There at your solar plexus. That's your power center, your creativity, your career, your who you are in your walking around in the world. And just be aware of this beautiful center. Say thank you and send it love. And now move to your heart, that sacred heart, that physical heart area, that fourth chakra, which is about loving oneself and loving others and how to be in that beautiful love space. So feel the love, feel the radiance of your heart, the beauty that it is. And take a breath. And send love not only inward, but outward from this space. And then I invite you to move up to your throat chakra, the fifth chakra, which is in your throat. And it's about speaking your truth and aligning with divine will. And this is about expressing your divinity, expressing who you are. So again, say thank you and send love to this beautiful chakra. this beautiful part of you that can bring you out into the world, express your truth and yourself. And then now bring your awareness up to your sixth chakra, your third eye, in the middle of your forehead. And this is the place where you tune into the intuition. You tune into the way you see the world, and that you have your inner knowing, your inner vision. And again, just say hello to the sixth chakra and thank it for being there to allow you to have this beautiful inner vision, and send it love. And then lastly, turn to your awareness to your seventh chakra, the crown of your head, on top of your head. And this is a beautiful way that you express yourself to the world and the way the world sees you. So this is what you put forth to the world. And it can be this well-being, this beauty, this divine essence of who you are. Say hello to the seventh chakra and send it love as well. And now I invite you to send a beam of light going up from your seventh chakra up to the cosmos, up to this beautiful Father Sky, if you will, so that you become this beam of light from Father Sky down to Mother Earth through your grounding cord and through all of your chakras. You have this column of light flowing from above to below, and you are as above, so below, being in the middle. And so take a breath and just feel the radiance of who you are, and know that you can know every part of this beautiful being that you chose to be with your soul coming into this physical body. So again, take your breath, bring your awareness back to the room, to wherever you're sitting. Thank you for going through this Peace Brain meditation with me. And thank you again for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show. It's been a delight to have you here and to have my guest, Cody Edner. Again, his website is intuitivevision.net. Had to look for that for a second. And if you want to learn more about me, Dr. Gail Lesh, you can go to my website, tourismforpeace.com, to learn about our Akashic Record readings and how we can work for you to hashtag opt for peace and create your peace park and get on our World Peace Trails map. So I'd love to talk to you more about that. You can also email me at hello@peacebrain.org. So now please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your peace park on our World Peace Trails map, and know that you are this beautiful divine being, and discover more of who you are so you can walk in well-being in this world and shine your light and give your gifts to the world to create a better world of peace. Many, many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Akashic Records readings, her peace plans for your business or organization, and her recently published book, Opt for Peace, 9 Essential Steps to Achieving Peace, Power, and Prosperity. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 1 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern to the Peace Brain Show for your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.